Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm conscious of every day now. I'm writing about every day. So, you know, what I've done, how I'm feeling today, whether I'm feeling good, excited, sad, whatever it is, just write about how you feel. Yeah, I just felt like it helped me because when you're a mess, or when I'm a mess, or when I'm sort of in a bad place, and you're sort of, the days just fly by, and it'll just be like drinking and just being busy and not even acknowledging the actual days. With the journaling, it's like, cool, I'm like aware of every single day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Balancing Acts. In this conversation, I talk to comedian and actor Will Robbins. Perfect. Hi, this is Steve Whiteley, comedian, actor, filmmaker and writer, all-round ADHD creative. And welcome to my new podcast, Balancing Acts, where I talk to an array of creatives ranging from comedians, actors, directors, all sorts. And we talk about how they find a sense of balance or not between their creative lives and their everyday lives and how that has an impact on their mental health and beyond. Balancing Acts is made in association with The Comedy Crowd, who support independent comedy creators. They showcase the best new videos on comedycrowdtv.com and across media platforms. They support independent comedy creators and showcase the best new videos, including adult animation, sketch shows, web series, viral hits, and lots more. So if you're a creator, then do check them out. Will recently reached the final of the Brighton Comedia New Comedian of the Year final. And at that final, Steve Bennett from Chortle, a very well-known comedy publication website, gave him a very positive review. I'm just going to quote some of that review here. A pro-quality act and know-it-all wisecracker with masterful timing and perfectly acted detail. So to receive those words from Steve Bennett, as some people listening might know, is no small feat. Will also writes and stars alongside his comedy partner in crime, Ben Cohen, on their Instagram sketches, and recently starred in Comedy Central's Transaction. This is what I love about having these kind of conversations. Like, Will and I, as you'll hear, we met each other early doors in our stand-up careers in the early days of the open mic circuit for both of us. And, you know, we've hung out like a fair bit, but a lot of what we discussed, such as like him moving from Somerset to London and the details surrounding that, and just, you know, a lot that you don't find out about sort of like when you're having sort of either like brief banter chats pre or post gig or just sort of hanging out. So it was great to sort of go in deep with Will. We talked about loads of things, covered loads of ground, him moving in with Ben earlier in the year and their creative partnership blossoming and how that led to them creating consistently loads of sketches on Instagram, which are super funny. Definitely go and check them out. And we talk about the advantages of collaborating and making things with somebody else rather than sort of doing it sort of solitary on your own. Will also describes how having an hallucinogenic trip changed his view and almost outlook on and approach on life, really, for the better. So we talk about that. He describes how he once agreed to get a tattoo as a best man and then the groom decided not to get married. So he didn't keep to his lifelong commitment, but Will did. We also talk about Will's former life working in the music industry, how he got into stand-up and the struggles that come with the early days, you know, of starting off in comedy and the obsession of wanting to gig every night and get better. He breaks down the experience of acting in Transaction, the Comedy Central series, and the challenges of having to stick to the script when, you know, he wants to improvise, something he really enjoys doing. Will also breaks down his new daily 30-30-30 ritual of journaling, stretching, and meditating, and explains the positive impact it's had on him since he's incorporated it as part of his daily routine. We discuss the benefits of introducing self-discipline into your life, and he also talks about like talents such as Pete Doherty, who he kind of, you know, came across in the music industry, who he thinks like a rarity, like completely out of control, but when it comes to sort of doing their thing, you know, performing on stage, is always on point. But that's sort of like one of the few. And that's why we were talking about why discipline is so important and how actually it can help your creativity flourish. We talk about our love for silly comedy and how that's influenced Will and the sketches he started to make on Instagram. We also talk about his first job as a runner at BBC Entertainment Commissioning Department, which made Live at the Apollo. And he also describes his experience of being a researcher on Russell Howard's Good News. And he also tells a great story about how everything went full circle and he recently bumped into Russell Howard, who congratulated Will on his review in Chortle. We talk about the satisfaction that comes with seeing through and finishing a creative project, but also the fear that comes with it. You know, once you've made it and you start questioning whether it's any good, and the longer you leave it before you put it out, the more that fear builds up. Will also breaks down his writing process for sketches and explains why dialogue on Instagram doesn't really work. There's loads here. This was a really great chat. This is a great one. If you think about getting into stand-up comedy, or if you're doing comedy in any shape or form, if you want to get into Instagram sketches or just like, you know, smaller social media sketches, then there's loads of nuggets of gold here. So, without further ado, over to Will. Perfect. We are lift off. Do you want to, how are you going to be sitting? Are you going to be all right to be forward like that? Is that going to be comfortable? Look how intense it is between us.
It's like a standoff. Playing chess with no board. Just with our words.
Chess with our words, yeah. Checkmate you.
Yeah, checkmate, bruh.
Well, this is the second face-to-face podcast post-COVID. We're not over COVID, but I mean since COVID started.
Yeah, it's okay to hang out now legally.
It's all right, isn't it?
Legally, we can be together.
Yeah, we've always seen each other, let's be honest. We've seen each other a few times.
Yeah, we've met up a couple of times.
Yeah, I was like, Will, I think I don't feel comfortable hanging out. And then you just sort of turn up outside. Maybe what are you
doing? I don't think I turned up.
Yeah, you just sort of turn, and I had to call the police a couple of times.
Yeah, I was going mad. I was thinking of my mental health. I needed to be with humans.
Yeah. Was Ben not human?
Oh, yeah, no. I did have Ben, but I was bored of Ben.
So, Ben, all right, so let's kick off with that, because you moved in, before COVID, you moved in with Ben Cohen, fellow comedian and friend.
Yeah, beginning of the year.
And that has been a very fruitful, creatively fruitful experience for you, isn't it?
Creative, fruitful experience.
I like the word fruitful.
Yeah.
It's a good word. I never use
it.
Do you use it?
Let the fruit fall onto the floor and then gouge on it and let the juice spill down my chest.
God, that vitamin C. Get that vitamin C down your boy.
No, it's been good. Yeah, I moved in with him, Crouch End, around the corner from here. And in lockdown...
Don't reveal the location. We can't, because some people might want to turn up.
Yes, London.
Yeah, London.
UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Moved in with him in the UK and... yeah, no, it was good. And then I got made furloughed, so I was getting paid.
Yeah.
And we had loads of time. Ben wasn't working. I don't know what he does. But that was our chance to start making stuff. We're living together, Not working. If we didn't do it then, when the hell are we going to do it?
I'll say you've been making sketches, haven't you?
Yeah, too. Just doing the sketches and sort of our double act sketches, whatever that means. But sketches with us both in it.
Yes. Yeah. It's cool because, you know, you and I have talked for a while. And you've always like posted on Instagram, you've done like, you know, videos here and there, but you've always wanted to like try and do lots of different characters, etc. And then this has been the opportunity to do that, but also do it with somebody else, and so you can bounce off each other.
It's good to do it with someone else.
It's nice. More fun.
You know, you can bash. I was bashing out the sketches on my sort of character sketches on my own. It's okay. Is it fun? Is it truly fun on your own in that room? With the setting up the camera, fiddling about on your own.
And then it just like falls, the camera falls down.
The camera falls out over, you get the, like, you film one, you think that's good, and you look at it back and you're not even in frame. Just...
But don't you find then, and then you've got to do it again, but I often find, the problem that I always found is that...
First one's always the best.
Always the best.
Always, and then you're like...
Because it's like fresh.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I just like improv that, improv the fuck out of that.
So, okay. Yeah, it's definitely... Anything to do with comedy, obviously stand-up is a solitary thing, but like writing as well, I find it's much more fun when you're doing it with somebody else.
Yeah, I've not quite mastered the art of writing with someone. It always just turns into a chat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I need someone who knows how to do it to be like, right, here's the first task, we will write five jokes or five premises, and then we'll discuss them together. And
well, they always speak formally like that.
I would like someone to speak formally like that, because it would help me. Otherwise, we would just start chatting about the news or a coffee.
Yeah. Well, I was just literally, I was funny you say that, because I was reading this article before about what are effective Zoom meetings. And most Zoom meetings in business environments are a waste of time, because they don't come with an agenda.
Yeah.
They just turn up and they don't have like a time limit. And then they're probably just like, so how's your weekend?
Yeah,
and then they're like, so about that thing, what should we do?
It's just no structure. There's
no structure.
No agenda, no bullet points.
No agenda.
You need bullet points.
Yeah.
Bullet points.
It's a delicate situation.
Everything's very delicate. Delicate is my favourite word of 2020.
I was going to say, listeners, that prior to the podcast, Will was using the word delicate a fair amount, I'd say. I'd never picked up about that.
It's a new thing. I think I started it a few months ago.
Okay, what caused it?
So I was on hallucinogenics, I was thinking about life as you do, and I just realized everything is very delicate, whether it's a relationship with a friend or a relationship with a lover or your career or your home, or everything is just delicate, man. Yeah. You got to treat it with care,
100%.
And that's it. Just made me, I don't know, just be more. Thoughtful and sensible and care. I think so, yeah.
Really?
Like I've come away being like, right, everything is seriously delicate, so I would treat everything carefully and nicely.
So give me an example of like, how have you started, how have you made a different approach?
I might be more delicate towards my family, like to my mum.
You're just talking and randomly get up and start stroking her head.
No. There's no touching, there's no wandering hands in this. Okay. Just being nicer to people, and
then
seeing friendships, but I've seen like people fall out with each other, people's relationships bust, and then I don't know what I'm saying, but everything's delicate.
So you had a kind of like a spiritual awakening,
slightly, and I think it's good. It's kind of if it's made me softer or more sensitive to situations.
Really?
Like, that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
It gives you greater degree of empathy.
Yeah, and like taking nothing for granted, like not even a friendship, like a long friendship.
Yeah.
Just don't know what I'm saying, Steve.
No, it's delicate. It's delicate, though.
It's delicate, bro.
Would you get a tattoo delicate?
No.
It sounds like it's a life-changing one.
I would like to get a tattoo. One tattoo, which is sheer hell, which is on my ankle. It's just a nightmare.
Have you actually?
Yeah, look.
I've never noticed that before. Oh, right. I thought you meant a tattoo saying sheer hell.
No! No, the tattoo is sheer hell. It's just a circle with a few dots around it.
What does that mean? What does it signify?
To cut a long story short, my friend was getting married.
Yeah.
He's covered in tattoos. I was the best man. He said, let's go and get the same tattoo. I said, okay. Because I mean, I was young and stupid. He got the tattoo. We got the tattoo. The same tattoo. He ended up not even marrying her.
And then,
I remember a few months later, I just saw the tattoo on my leg one morning. I was like, oh, you twat.
Wow. So he didn't see through his lifelong commitment, but you saw through a lifelong commitment to him via a tattoo on your ankle.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a good friend.
That is, I mean, that's a solid, are you still friends with him?
We're actually not friends anymore.
Oh, delicate.
Because our relationship was delicate and he was sheer hell.
But now with your newfound empathy, are you going to reach out to him?
No, bro, I can't even go into it. He's
one of them.
He's a complicated character.
Right, yeah, you come across him every now and then. And you have to, it's hard, isn't it? Because especially if you've known, if it's someone you've known for years and years and you feel like, you know, there's a sense of loyalty there. But then it's like, how much do you take before you're just sort of like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
No, I can't. Yeah. He is sadly one of the few people
the casualties.
Just can't surround myself around.
Yeah.
It just ends in chaos and tears.
So does that person still try and reach out to you?
They actually, I hadn't spoken to them for a few years. He actually tried to reach out this year.
Right.
And I've had to ignore it because I did fall out with him before. And then I sort of just buried the hatchet. I was like, I don't hold grudges. I don't have grudges.
Right.
And, you know, I'm his old bud. And I met up with him again, sweet for a bit. And then it obviously ended in some massive blow up. He's just, he is not to be trusted.
One of them. That's what me and my mates call them, those people.
And, you know, it's this if you want to hear something bleak, I remember I spoke to his mum after the last time. I said, look, I can't hang out with this guy anymore.
Yeah.
She was like, Willie, you're the last friend to stick by him. Well done. Stay away from him. That's his mum, bro.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
wow.
So yeah, that's for another story.
Yeah.
I shouldn't really talk about people like that.
Well, we don't know who it is, so here we go. So let's rewind. How did Will Robbins come to being a stand-up comedian? Because we did, actually...
Yeah. One of our first gigs together, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Memoirs of a Geezer Shadwell.
Mate. Shadwell.
It was Aggie Pub.
Mate, bro, do you remember how aggy that was?
Bro, someone was selling coke in the toilets. I walked in on them selling gear and they didn't flinch. I was the one that flinched. I fucking shuffled back out of the toilet. Normally they would like put it away and just like turn around. They didn't flinch. I had to back out of the toilet.
But do you remember the heckle? There was like just a load of like aggro guys by the bar just shouting stuff out.
Did you mention a football team and then someone, we were told not to mention any football teams unless it was whatever football team they supported. I don't know. But yeah. They always stood back towards us at the bar, muttering rank things. Just like
they were throwing insults, weren't they? That was like it was a good learning curve. That early doors.
I remember first time I saw you, and I think I was still working in music at the time. And you did this whole rapping garage thing, and it was a vibe, and everyone was like, "It's going off, and it's good."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, cool. I like that guy." Yeah.
Yeah, because we had similar trajectories. I always get this trajectories. Trajectories.
Yeah.
We had similar trajectories.
It's a delicate word, bro.
Mate, it's delicate. Everything's delicate in terms of both working in the music industry.
Yep. I used to work at a management company / record label.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Was it like one of those where you just had incredible experiences where you're going to like festivals all around the world?
Yeah, man. Festivals all around the world, toured in the US. I was very lucky and it was a very fun time. It's good. But I just fell into it. Obviously, my friend was the boss there and that's how I got the job and just fell into it. But deep down, I don't know, sadly, it just wasn't my passion. So
yeah, it's not sad.
It wasn't sad. No, it was just wasn't my passion. So I couldn't pursue it for much longer. I did four years. And it was just fizzled. So
yeah.
And my power was like, no, just leave. Like, your heart's not in this music game, bruv.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
You gotta be committed to the game.
Yeah, you gotta be so I left and then sort of pushed more with the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So had you always had a desire to do stand up?
Yeah, so basically I'd always wanted to do stand up but I was always scared. I never wanted to tell didn't want to tell my dad.
Yeah.
I felt like embarrassed or I felt like it wasn't a good enough profession.
Right.
Oh, dad, I want to be a clown.
Yeah, yeah. That from like a young age that you knew you wanted to do?
Yeah, because I was always funny. I was always the funny one. And that was like, I guess, my coping mechanism or just my default. It's just didn't even think about it. It just was what it was. So I didn't want to tell dad. Also, I didn't have the confidence to actually get on stage. And I remember, I think it must have been my first sort of love. First time I was in love, I kept on telling her, I was like, yeah, I always wanted to do stand-up. And she was like, do it, you're funny, just do it. So she gave me that final bit of confidence I needed to actually get on stage for the first time. And then that's why I ended up doing it. And then I ended up loving it and doing it so much. She was just like... stop doing that? Do you want to stop doing that now? Yeah. I was like, nope.
It's basically become your new relationship.
Yeah, so she was, it was
your
funny.
Your girlfriend.
Sort of kind of went full circle.
Yeah. Yeah, the comedy mistress.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was like, as soon as you did it, were you just like, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, to be, I think I did it. I did a course way before I got into it. I did a comedy course.
Oh,
did
was
a
gig, that?
It was good. I did it at the comedy school
In Camden. Yeah.
I remember doing that.
Esther did that as well.
And you do a gig at the end, did the gig. Was fine,
yeah.
But I was like, I'm not ready for this. This
right.
is weird.
Yeah.
And then just didn't do anything for like 4 years.
It's like the same with me.
Yeah, yeah, something
I had
like
the same
that.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I did.
Just didn't feel like up for it already.
Yeah, I did the Amuse Moose one, and then 5 years later,
yeah.
I did 4 gigs.
Yeah.
And then just stopped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just like, nah. Just felt that maybe just something didn't sit right.
Right.
And then, but it was always niggling in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, that's it. You know, I'm getting to my fucking mid-20s now, or maybe late 20s. I can't remember when I started, but it's always niggling. So then I just, yeah, chucked myself into it, and I just gigged 3 or 4 nights a week forever. Yeah.
Forever, yeah. For eternity.
Yeah, which is good, kind of.
So when you say, yeah, as when you say kind of, what are the bits that you found, like, challenging then?
I guess after a while, you know, after a few years, you're like, okay, you just expect something will happen.
Yeah.
Something cool will happen.
Yeah.
Like an agent in the shadows.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's different.
Yeah.
You're a star, kid. Hey, step into my office. Hey, here's a nickel for your troubles.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah, you expect something to happen because you're deluded and you need that to be to get going, I guess, in almost anything.
You
need a bit of delusion and confidence. So yeah, nothing was really happening. But yeah, I was just plugging along. I was enjoying meeting people. I'd never really had a proper hobby before stand up. Never did a hobby. I was always working and just sort of slightly living for the weekend, partying and stuff.
Yeah.
I was stuck in that cycle. So it was great to finally have a healthy hobby where I was writing and meeting people, like-minded people who were. It was brilliant to meet all these sort of stand-ups. A lot of them, you know, struggled with sort of connecting with because they're socially whatever. But
eventually you find the people, aren't you?
The first couple of years, I was like, what's happening? I can't make any friends in this comedy. Like, everyone's like, but that's the sort of initiation thing.
Yeah,
like,
because
people, I guess a lot of people do jump into comedy for what, probably maybe wrong reasons, and then just step out of it. Oh, I've got over my social anxiety or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something different. But yeah, after a few years, you start to meet like-minded people. And I found it really interesting because, I don't know, I feel like there's some, we are all sort of slightly doing comedy. There must be something similar about all of us in a certain way.
We've got holes in our soul.
Yeah, holes in our soul. Wow. Delicate soul. Yeah, like, even though we're all different with shapes, sizes, ages, colours, whatever.
Yeah.
Something does bring us all together, and I like that.
There's a drive there, isn't there? There's a underlying reason. And then it becomes a bit obsessive.
Yes, and then you're like, I'm obsessed. I'm a beast.
Yeah.
I must be gigging every night to get better, to grow my powers.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you find it during lockdown, not having that?
So when lockdown happened and obviously all the gigs stopped, I didn't really miss it. I just took it on the chin. I was like, fine, it is what it is for a bit. There's lots of other things to be doing comedy-wise, writing sketches, writing sitcoms, doing a podcast. Obviously missed the buzz of life, didn't miss the kind of coming home at 11, half 11 every night.
Yeah.
Just having more time to myself, it was... Because I was trying to gig a lot, and having the evenings back was awesome. I was like, this is quite cool.
Yeah.
Just going to bed super early. Loved it. I was sort of recharging my batteries. I loved it, yeah. I did my first gig back last week, though.
And you loved that?
What?
It was good.
Good, yeah. Sorry, it was in Hackney. It was good. It was busy. It was like 30 people. I was a little bit nervous, but I didn't really give a fuck as well. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just went out there, did some old material, fluffed a bit, but because I didn't care, the audience was sort of on board.
They were just like,
I was like, ooh, what am I talking about? Ooh, I'm so relaxed. And they were like, ooh, who's this guy? Yeah, it was fine. It was a good gig back, and it's good, great to see sort of, you know, a bunch of comedian friends again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So if you could have like best case scenario, what is it for the old comedy shtick?
Okay. Yeah. I think I want to be sort of propelled into sort of comedy acting more.
Okay. Because you've had your acting credits now, like you've been in a sitcom on Comedy Central.
Yeah. There's a sort of mini series on Comedy Central that Jordan Gray wrote. It's great. She sort of wrote a part for me, which is cool.
How was that experience?
Yeah, it's good. It was like proper films, proper set, you know, like all the showbiz stuff, the cameras.
Catering? Oh my God.
All of that. It was good fun. It was quite sort of strict because I film a lot of sketches and I do sort of just like to sort of improv.
Yeah.
They were not having any of it. Saying it word for word, Will. And I was like, okay, I will. But yeah, so they were strict on the words. But yeah, great experience. I want to do more comedy acting, yeah.
Great.
Just like, that's what I find fun. If I'm honest, I don't want to be a touring comedian slogging it out in Hull on a weekday. Yeah, so the idea of being like a flat-out touring comedian just doesn't quite appeal to me. I do get something from the live, and it's a buzz, and it's, I feel like it's a healthy hobby.
Yeah.
I was going to say healthy, but I stuttered on it a bit, because maybe it can be a bit unhealthy, especially if you're going out there doing like self-deprecating every night.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
Do you think that?
Hey, I'm a piece of shit. Look at me. I haven't washed in a week, but I'm trying to, I obviously do a bit of self-deprecating, but maybe it doesn't have to be all self-deprecating.
Yeah, but yours isn't also.
No, it's not. It's just like,
it's a fun time.
Fun time.
It's a fun time chat.
It's a fun time chat. But yeah, definitely comedic acting is what I want to do more of, ideally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
So what do you do? What does Will do? Mm. Like when you're in the throes of the stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you find the sense of like get your chi? What do you do outside of comedy to give you any kind of balance or not?
Yeah, balance. What, say if I'm sort of gigging a lot?
Yeah, when you're like in the throes of stand-up, do you do exercise or is there anything else like that you need to do outside of it to just give you that mental stability?
Yeah. So definitely, I do this thing. I've even named it. It's called the 30-30-30.
Oh, I love the sound of this. Go on.
No, because I've done the whole sort of when you're on the ropes after a rocky relationship, you kind of go into like the self-help books and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then everything's got a name. Everything's like, oh, do you do the 30-30-30? Yeah. So I sort of named my own thing. It's the 30-30-30. And all it is a daily thing. You do 30 minutes. I do sort of stretches and Pilates, 30 minutes. Writing, it's actually just journaling.
Like the morning 30, pages.
Morning pages, 30 minutes.
How long have you been doing the morning pages for?
Well, I've done it every day for a month.
Have you?
Yeah.
And you feel good for it?
Bro, I'm telling you, the journaling.
Yeah.
Has fucking helped me.
Really? So do you do the 3 pages every morning? How much do you write?
So I do 30 minutes.
Journal for 30 minutes?
I journal for 30 minutes.
And what sort of stuff are you writing about?
So basically, don't think about it. It is literally like a diary.
Yeah, exactly.
And I found it really helped with... So you just talk about your day and what you've got coming up or what you've done in the past and how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So it's just... It can't, mate. If you were to read it back, you'd think I am one boring fucker.
Yeah, same.
Because it's just...
It becomes quite repetitive, doesn't
it? Yeah, it can be. Oh, today I had an egg on toast. Not serious. But the thing is, you're just a constant stream of thoughts. So you're just getting it out onto the paper, onto the page. And then I found it helped. My brain feels super organized and tidy at the moment. Yeah.
Really?
Because it's like I'm conscious of every day now. I'm writing about every day. So, you know, what I've done, how I'm feeling today, whether I'm feeling good, excited, sad, whatever it is, just write about how you feel. I just felt like it helped me because when you're a mess, or when I'm a mess, or when I'm sort of in a bad place, when you're sort of the days just fly by, and it'll just be like drinking and just being busy and not even acknowledging the actual days. With the journaling, it's like, cool, I'm like aware of every single day, and every single day what I know what I'm doing, I've kind of got the reins of it a bit more, and I feel like I'm kind of on top of that. I know what I've done day to day.
Right.
Like when I'm sort of not in a good way, I'm just sort of drinking every day and not even thinking about anything. You're just like, got to get through today.
Yeah.
I've got to be busy. Got to get through today.
Like, yeah, gig. To distract you from your thoughts.
Yeah, cigarettes, gigs, blah, blah, blah. You know, not even sat down for a minute to sort of think what my vibe is to them, what I've done, how I felt about it.
Right.
So I'm telling you, the journaling sounds lame, but like it's...
I don't think it sounds lame.
Okay, cool. So the 30-30-30, it's journaling 30 minutes, Pilates 30 minutes, and then 30 minutes meditation, which I do before bed.
Yeah, and you've been doing that since lockdown?
Yeah, mate, I've really been militant with it before lockdown. You miss the odd day here and there, but like meditation is just a standard now. It's just I just do a guided meditation, find some bloke you like on YouTube, like just do that. I'll jump from person to person every now and again. If I find a good one, just stick on them for a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it.
What effect has that had on you?
Well, I just feel like at the moment, really good. My body, from the stretching, my body feels more bendy and supple.
Yeah,
you know, I had a hip replacement last year, which was mad.
So
I've got to do it anyway, just build up muscle around my hip, and just I feel good, man. Like I'm cycling a lot, bendy, you know, like when you have a hip
replacement. Bendy cycling,
I'm bending around, bro. I'm on the bike bending all over Ali Cali, like so yeah, I've got to look after my body, just
that's great.
Yeah.
And you, how come you do the meditation evening, not in the morning?
I was doing it in the mornings, but
what with the journaling, there's only so much time you've got in the morning.
I just found I prefer to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, I'm just in bed, like, mincing about. Just...
Midday. Well, I feel great now, but I've waited half a day.
I've done a lot of meditation today. Morning. Oh, it's afternoon. I sacked it in the morning. I was doing it morning and night, but I've decided to do it at night time. Just chill, get in the zen.
Yeah.
But yes, that's me. And I find, because I've never had any discipline before. I've always been I've never been hard on myself at all with anything. So whether it's drink, drugs, smoking, all the sort of naughty things, I've never like been hard on myself. So so that means I've probably done it in excess for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's fine. I'm fucking whatever. And like, but now I'm sort of not hard on myself, but trying to give myself some more discipline, and just seeing what effect that has on me, and my brain definitely feels tidier and more organized. Perfect.
Hello, sorry to interrupt in the middle of this insightful conversation, which I'm enjoying, I'm sure, just as much as you are. But I need to give you guys a little reminder. If you like this conversation, this episode, if you like Balancing Acts in general, then please do subscribe to us, rate and review us, because it makes the world of difference. And the more reviews we get, the more rates we get, the more people can discover the podcast and we can make it go viral, whatever that means. Okay, back to the chat. The irony is like, you know, there's the myth about like, oh, being a creative, you sort of like have to be sort of all over the shop and get fucked up and that kind of thing. But I find the irony is like, the more disciplined you are, the more creative you can be.
Yeah.
Not 100%. Even, that's just about creativity, but just your life in general, like it just becomes more enjoyable.
100%. It'll be a rare case when you get someone who's like a mess. It's like, was it Pete Doherty? He's a fucking mess. But he's like, when he blew back in the day, he's talented. He's like beyond talented.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. He was smoking crack and doing heroin, but he's one of those rare cases. You know, he's probably living in a squat, sitting on the floor, but he had the talent to carry himself through.
Yeah.
That is a rare case. Like,
what happened to him?
He's, I don't know. I've met him before. He's sketchy.
Yeah.
But like, I've seen, I was at a gig. I was managing a band and we were doing a gig and my band was supporting him. And
who was your band?
They're called Lazy Talk. Piers? Ginger Piers? He used to work at the Landers. And then, mate, we were at this gig in, like, Huddersfield, and him and his band, they were just, like, fucked. He was, like, very puffy face, sort of yellow eyes. You shake his hand, it's like shaking a wet, cold fish.
Oh, really?
And he's there smoking a crack pipe in the dressing room, and he's just...
This was a few years ago.
This was probably 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
Mate, and he's like flying, like he's not been to bed for days. And yeah. then you're just like, you've got to go on stage in a minute. Gets onto stage, does not miss a note.
Right.
Just gets the guitar on, sings like an angel and doesn't miss a note. And you're just like, what? Yeah. He's an exception. Like, and when you speak to him, he's so eloquent and he's like in the room. And it's like, what? You've just been like huffing a pipe. And now you're just talking poetry to me, like, you're amazing. And it's just like, he looks rank, but he's like, he's incredible. And then I remember he came off stage and the poor tour manager, he looked just haggard. He was like, oh, Pete, you got to go do an encore. And he's like, Pete's like, oh, fuck off, blah, 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 fuck off. And he's like smoking his pipe. And then eventually he goes out, does the encore, smashes it. You know, he's an exception of like talent just coming through chaos.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, we can't.
It's not a way to live, is it?
It's not a way to live. You know, it's a scary existence, but.
Delicate.
It's incredibly delicate, and probably chaos follows him, and I'm not into any of that.
Nah.
That's too tiring, man.
It's not the one, is it?
Mm.
It's not the one. Yeah, and just crack wouldn't be my drug of choice.
No, it's incredibly, I'd find it quite stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't. My heart's racing.
It's not like a love-inducing drug, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. It's sheer hell, and people turn into a knob on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I can see, you know, like a different energy from you because we spoke about this like about a month ago or so.
Yeah.
And you said you're just like loving it, lockdown in that respect.
Yeah, yeah.
You've had this time to just do all this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. More
just
time
sort of
to
like
myself.
Emitting positive vibes, man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I am admitting positivity vibes.
Yeah. And that's having a knock-on effect on... The sketches.
Yeah, yeah. So the sketch.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, the sketches with me and Ben, we had a chat and I was like, because the world is a mess right now and we don't even need to get into that.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, if we're just making sort of really fun, lighthearted, silly, lovely, I know it's all very weak words, but if we're just making lovely stuff, I think that's the avenue I want to go down. I don't want to be preaching to anyone. I don't want to be topical. I don't want to make anyone feel stupid. I don't want to be harsh.
Yeah.
I just want to be lovely, mate.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what the world needs right now. Ben was like, Brer, I am on your wavelength.
Nice.
So that is all it's about. And yeah, okay, it might not be very deep and it might be a bit slapsticky, but fucking don't care right now. We need it.
Dude, like, there's so many dramedies and whatnot out there.
Dramedies.
I'm all for like silly and surreal comedy.
Yeah, man, I think we need it. And, you know, me and Ben love the same sort of movies. So it's, for instance, like the Naked Gun sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That style.
Yeah.
I love that shit. It's just funny. It's just
the physical comedy in it.
Physical comedy, slapstick, like play on words. I'm sorry, it's the roots, bruh.
Yeah. Mate, I remember, like, obviously, you know, these things become dated and there's a lot of issues around certain, like, you know, types of comedy because of their subject matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way I look at it is like times have changed and during that time and like people's perspectives evolve, etc. But at the time, certain stuff was fucking funny. Like I look at Harry Enfield now and then you can say,
what the sketch, huh?
Yeah. Harry Enfield and Chums. Like, you could look at it now and you can say, oh yeah, that could be considered as classist or whatever
offensive.
It is. But at the time, man, like as a kid, I thought it was the funniest thing.
The funniest stuff.
Everyone was quoting the lines.
Yeah. Bro, they're geniuses. And like
Paul Whitehouse,
Paul Whitehouse, the accents they can do and the script writing and performance. Like it's nailing it. They're great, like proper idols. Yeah.
Yeah, so like for sure, why not just make silly fun stuff.
We're enjoying it. And like for the first time I'm getting a few like random messages from people.
Oh, you got DMs.
Just kind of nice stuff. And so one guy said, like, love the sketches. Oh, I suffer from like bad anxiety and this really helped.
Oh, that's
I was just
really
like,
nice.
Bro, like sent that's it to Ben. Nice. I was like, look at this message, it's so lovely.
Yeah.
Ben was like, yes, Willie, we're onto something. And any sort of nice message either of us get, we always send it to each other. Just as a little kind of spur us on.
Yeah, of course.
It's nice, man, yeah.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Mm.
So then you just carry on doing that and go back to stand-up as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back to stand-up. just before lockdown, I came like third in the Comedian New Act comp, which was like my first, whatever, in a competition, first something in a competition, which felt good.
Yeah,
got my first review, Steve Bennett.
Nice. How was that?
It's a good review, mate. Yeah, lovely review. First review. So I was like, kind of like buzzing a bit from the start. First time I was sort of buzzing from, because we're all looking for validation a bit. You're like, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? And then when someone who knows, inverted commas, knows, gives you a review, you're like, okay, cool. It just gives you a little spurt to go on for a bit longer.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Or just, should I just pack it in? Do you want to just pack it in?
Yeah, should I do it now? Should I just go? Is that it?
Should I just let myself out?
Out the door,
So funny, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going back a little bit, but before music industry, so you grew up in Somerset, right?
Grew up in Somerset, lovely Somerset, where the Soda is and all of that jazz.
Yeah.
Lovely place to grow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not the same area, but like when This Country came out, were you like,
yeah.
I know that person. I know who that person
completely
is.
Completely clicked and resonated with that show.
Yeah.
Similar accents, because I guess, where was that set? Cotswolds.
It's, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're proper, mate, I know.
It
made me feel a bit depressed watching it.
Did it?
Yeah, it did, because I know those people.
Do you still know them? Like, if you go back, if you've got, like, people there that still live there.
I have got friends down there, and I don't mean that in a rude way. I mean, it just wasn't for me, that sort of life. It's a different way of life.
Different way of living. It's more simple, but...
It's more simple.
But it's boring, probably, as well.
Everyone has kids by 23 or whatever.
Yeah, that's it, and they're done.
Kind of. I can't work out if they've got the right idea or the wrong idea. I guess it's just different for everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. So I don't know why it depressed me. It's because I was done in Somerset. I got to 19. And I was like, I need to get out. Like, everyone either works in the garage, a factory, neighbouring, or sells drugs. That's all was on the table, really.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do any of those things.
So you moved to London at 19?
Yeah, 19, 20. Moved to London.
Oh, wow. You moved young.
Yeah, I didn't do uni.
So where did you move in with friends?
Yeah, I moved, because my parents used to live in London before they had kids. Moved in with my dad's friend and his son, who was similar age.
Okay.
So I moved in, cheap rent, because they had a spare room and it was a pal. Good start. And then I've got a job at the BBC. First ever proper job.
Did you? What were you doing there?
Making tea and coffee, bruh.
Okay, nice.
Hashtag no uni, so... I mean, people do that anyway. People do that anyway. They go to university.
They go to uni, then they do
and
that.
Then they go to tea and coffee.
Yeah, for sure.
But do you know what? I actually was lucky to get that job. It was one of those BBC things where they were filling a diversity quota.
Right.
And you had to be sort of registered disabled to get the job. So
okay.
I think I remember my dad sending me the art. He saw the advert in a paper or something. And he was like, yeah, apply for that. Applied for it. Walking home from the interview, she phoned out and said, you got the job. I was like, yes.
Mate.
So I was there for 2 years in the Entertainment Commissioning Office, which was a sick office to be in. Like, just, like, live at the Apollo, they commissioned Russell Howes, all this, like, TV, cool, like, comedy stuff. And I was, like, buzzing. I was, like, kind of nailing it like, early on, career-wise, I thought.
Right.
And then, so I was doing the TV stuff, and then, yeah, I went on to work as a researcher on Russell Howes Good News.
Yeah.
For, like, 3 series. That was awesome.
So you had the thing, you had like a comedy injection like early on.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I didn't do stand-up, because I was like, oh, well, I'm working in comedy, I'm getting my fix.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't push the stand-up at all, even though I was frustrated, but even like working on Russell Howard's Good News, I was frustrated. I was like, mate, I need to be in there.
I want to be him. I want
to
be Russell.
Well, kind of wanted to be Russell, but also wanted to be in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Because, we sat next to the writer's room, and they're pissing themselves all day.
Really?
And we're just there on our computers. Don't get me wrong, it was an amazing job. All I did was watch news all day long and find funny stories. But I would always like write sketches for Russell, give him the sketches, and be like, oh, I found this news story about... What was it? I'll give you an example. One of them, like, in America, the best news stories in America, obviously.
Yeah.
It's full of, like, maniacs. Someone, some meth head, robbed a bank with a loom brush holder or something like that. And I wrote a sketch around that. That was really good. But it's hard to get a sketch made because there's, like, four writers and Russell. So, you know, it's hierarchy and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, best job I've ever had, like comedy-wise.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
And did you stay in touch? So have you like stayed in touch with a lot of people from that period? And you're like, hey guys, come to my gigs.
Not
Russell, me. Where you at?
So it was a weird one because I went from working as a researcher in comedy.
Yeah.
And then I had a big break, 4 years working somewhere else, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna do stand up. It was that I felt like it was a bit weird. I it's just weird. I didn't want to reach out to anyone to be like, oh, I'm a stand-up now, by the way.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, like, make my own way and then to fucking, I don't know, maybe be like, oh, you're a stand-up. I don't know. I thought I'm hoping it will still come full circle somehow.
Yeah. Like, oh, it was about timing, isn't it?
I remember I was on a date at the beginning of the year. And I was in a bar, and then Russell Howard walked in. I hadn't seen him in a while. We were quite pally at the time when I worked with him. Russell walked in, I was like hammered. And I said to the girl, I was like, right, let's walk through the restaurant. So he sees me. I wanted to chat to him. She was like, cool. Walked through the restaurant. Russell sees me, shoots his hand out, and says, come over. First thing he says to me was, like, I read your review by Steve Bennett.
That's amazing. Is that what he said?
First thing he said to me, and I was just like, what? So I said to him, I was like, why the fuck are you reading Chortle, bro?
What did he say?
He's still at arenas. He was like, brilliant review. Steve's hard to please, well done, blah, blah, blah. Sick. Like,
that's amazing.
Mate, it was amazing.
Mate, that must be such a buzz.
Yeah, it was a buzz.
That's full circle.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, full circle. And also, it's so funny.
And it was also, well, sorry to interrupt, but what's great about that is going back to like, oh, you know, you not reaching out to him. He found out he found that out.
Like in my head, that's exactly how I want it to happen.
Yeah,
so just do the work yourself, yeah. And then maybe, you know, they'll see. That was great. I feel like I'm name dropping a lot. Anyway, he was with James
Bay. No, but it's a good story.
Yeah, it's good. He was with James Bay. And then so the girl I was with was talking a lot to him. And she was like hammered. Right. And then we got back to the bar where we were sat. And I was just like, oh, girl, that was funny. And I was like, I just said to her, I can't believe he's with James Bay. She goes, what? I love James Bay. Oh my God, that was James Bay. She didn't know. She was like, and she was like, I'm going back over. I was like, no, you're not. Just stay there. it was a good evening. Yeah.
That's great.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. So that was good. What were we
talking about? And so how are like, you saying, you know, about like your parents sort of viewing like stand-up as a career in a certain way. What are they like now, sort of that you're a few years in and now you've had a review and things are starting to happen now? Like, what's their perspective on it?
They're still... Mum's cool. Mum's just like...
Okay.
Mum's always just like, are you relaxing enough? You've got to relax.
Mum, I'm doing my 30-30-30.
And then my dad might be... You know, he's never happy. He's always like, have you thought about getting an agent? what did you say, Dad? Let me write that down.
Yeah.
No, he bless him, yeah. They're supportive, but they don't think anything's happening at all, comedy-wise.
I think it's the way with most parents, because they're like concerned.
Yeah.
It's like a fine line between sort of being concerned and condescending.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, and then when I talk to him...
It's to happen, though. It changes a little bit.
Yeah, but they just care. I think they just see, they want to see money. They're like...
Of course, yeah. Well, how are you surviving?
Yeah. But no, it's okay. Parents are okay. But my dad's sort of, he's old school. I remember he came to a gig once. He can't do compliments. Can your dad do compliments?
He's a lot better than now.
Yeah, he can't do it. And so he came to the gig and he was just like, couldn't even look at me after. The gig was okay. And he was just like, and then like half an hour later, he was like, You could talk about Donald Trump, maybe? Like, shut up. I'm not political, bruh.
Yeah, my mum, when I used to do the early version of Weisbaum, which, as you said before, was a bit more of like a kind of like MC type thing, my mum would always be like, you're so aggressive up there. Yeah. I can see the veins popping out your neck.
Yeah, you're passionate, bruh.
Yeah, speaking to the people. But yeah, it's a challenging thing. Trying to, you just ignore it. Do you let it affect you?
No, I crack on it.
What about your friends? How your friends have like your friends outside of comedy? Like,
mate, they're all great. They're just like, great. Keep plugging away. I think I do wonder what they, some of them really do think, but it just doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, but what I do need to get better at is explaining and talking about what my goals are and what I really want.
So who do you need to get better at?
Well, I need to get, say, if I were to meet an agent.
Right.
What do you want? What do you want from it?
Like, yeah.
I get a bit like, whoa. Well, I was like, whoa. I just get a bit like jumpy. I need to just be more confident at, you know, just saying exactly what I want. And because you need to work it out in your own head for it to happen first, right?
Yeah, but from what you said to me, you need an acting agent rather than maybe a comedy agent now.
I'd like an acting agent, yeah.
Yeah. What you could like do, we can talk about this after, but you've got the beauty is you've got so many different sketches. Mm. You can easily edit together a reel now.
Yeah, yeah.
And send it to agents.
Yeah, yeah, a comedy reel, and then chuck in that Comedy Central.
That's how I got my acting agent.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I put together a reel of like the stuff that was in from my YouTube sketches and some other bits and commercials or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Send that with whatever it is. You send like a little email and a CV, and they responded saying, "Come into my office for a chat."
What? Not your current agent?
No.
This one before. One,
yeah.
I need a comedy reel. I've got enough stuff now. Maybe you can. No.
What?
Maybe you can help me edit one.
Yeah, sure.
I'll pay you.
Yeah.
In
pay me in the 30-30-30. Steve, we're gonna have a journaling session together. We're gonna do 30 minutes of meditation, and we're gonna do some bendy bendies.
Some bendy bendy, bro.
Bendy bendy, bro. Yeah, I think it sounds like you've got a clear path. You know where it becomes unclear? It's like it would become unclear if you're meeting with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Like if you're meeting with a stand-up agent and you're like, yeah, well, you know, I want to start doing like comedy acting. They're like, well, what are you meeting me for?
Yeah.
Like, or maybe, you get one for that and one for that. But
yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I need a... I would like to do better gigs, though, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And we all would.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'd rather... pursue the acting stuff more. It's more fun.
Yeah, just do it all, mate.
Do it all, mate.
But that was one of the things that did attract me to comedy as well, is that the freedom to do so many different things, like within this genre. You know, like this, then you can do a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to act, you can act. You want to do stand-up. You want to write, you can... All these things you can do. Everything's possible. It's just... with that, though, comes sort of like the challenge of focusing on like one thing at a time.
Yeah. No, because you said this before. You have a million ideas and you're kind of like dipping into all of them at once and you can't get anything done.
Yeah, it's just trying to like prioritize.
Nothing more satisfying than ticking something off. It's like I find with the creativity, to say when you're doing a sketch or something, the closer you get to the end of finishing it, the more sort of your mind sort of begins to play tricks with you, or fear sets in.
You question it, whether it's funny.
Yeah, you question it. And the closer you get to finishing it, or when you finished it, the fear will kick in and be like, well, no, you don't look, you look a bit weird, actually. You shouldn't put that up.
Yeah.
And then the longer I hold on to a sketch without posting it, the harder it will be to post. And it'll be because the fear, or your little niggly brain will be like, oh, actually, it's not that funny. And you don't look great, or... It's like, why are you even doing this? Yeah. Just like a million things will pop in. You just need to get it out. Just get it out. Don't, because fear will always be a part of it, but you just need to override that. And, you know, we're doing well at the moment, and it's just about creating. With the Insta, I'm not trying to become a social media star at all. Mm. I've stopped that dream. Not that it was a dream. But yeah, the idea is just to have it. It's a holding place for content. I might not be putting sketches up 3 times a week, but it's literally a place where people can come to look at it.
Yeah, you're doing it, but
it's a channel, that's all it is.
There's something really satisfying about doing something consistently and committing to
it. It's another discipline, isn't
it's a discipline, exactly. That you're building a muscle.
Exactly. And the more you complete whatever task you've set, you're building on that muscle.
Yeah.
And the more you don't do it, that muscle is getting stronger as well.
Yeah.
It's like when you don't have a cigarette.
Yeah.
That's making you stronger not to have any more cigs. And then every time you give in and buckle and have a cigarette, you're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll have another. Whatever beast you feed is going to grow.
Totally. And then with that, over time, you're going to probably be questioning yourself less, you know, and you'll feel more confident in your ideas and your abilities as well. Like the more feedback you get, it's just, it's like a feedback loop, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just constantly growing. So me and Ben do feel like we're slightly on a roll. And we've got a tiny bit of momentum just with ourselves. Like, we're not competing with anyone. And we're just like, yeah. And So in lockdown times, when we, so, you know, we can have down days when I feel like crap and I'm just like no energy for no reason, just low. And I'm like in bed hiding upstairs. Ben comes into my room. He's like, "Well, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. Just lockdown, innit, mate? I'm just fucking watching TV." He's like, "Mate, let's film a sketch." I'm like, "Nah." And he's like, "Well," and I'm like, "For fuck's sakes, okay." And I'm like putting on a wig, and then
he's forcing you.
I don't want to do it because I'm low. And then, you know, by the time after we do it, I'm like back. I'm like, I've got my energy back.
Yeah.
Because he's forced me to do it, and that's been vice versa as well. He's not been in the mood, and I've been up, and I'm like, come on, mate, let's just do a sketch. As soon as we get that in the can, we're buzzing again. We're back again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so mad.
Yeah.
And it's like we're kind of getting a hold of ourselves, understanding ourselves more. I'm like, when I'm low, even though I don't want to do the sketch, I'm not in the mood. I don't want a camera in my face.
Yeah.
But Ben sort of pushed it a bit, and I'm like, get it in there, do it. Even if it's crap, it's like, it got us out of bed, and it's nice.
So good, man. Yeah. I feel the exact same just with this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes I can't be asked.
Yeah.
I can't be. There's so many things you like. This is the bit I love. I love conversing with people these kind of conversations, but it's the bit in between. But then once you've done it and it's out there, it feels really good.
I feel like you're good. You're quite regular.
I do. Yeah. Every week. I release one every week.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is good. But yeah, I still go through those same processes though. Like, there's been actually, you know, I had a few weeks back where I had like a couple of weeks off, but it's still the same challenges that you're just like, push through this.
What is that about? This lethargy. The dragging your heels.
It's like, you're just like an enemy to ourselves. We're our own worst enemy in that respect.
Do you think American people are like that? Or they're like, hey man, I got to do my podcast. Yippee.
I think, yeah, especially in the West Coast, they're like that, aren't they? I mean, but we're all.
What is that?
Little ghost, mate. Goes, yeah, no, it's the person who's opposite when they open or close their door.
Right, okay.
You know why?
They're
not closing it delicately.
They're not being delicate.
They're not being delicate,
they
mate.
They need to just chill.
They need to chill.
They need to look at themselves and do the inner work.
Take some hallucinogenics.
Or come to me and we will go to the park.
And then do the 30-30-30.
Do the 30-30-30.
30-30-30 by Will Robbins. Hey, I'm Will Robbins.
Yeah, I'm going to be a spiritual guru, guider.
Those stuff, no, but it's all good. It is, I mean, it's clearly good because it's working for you.
Yeah, I feel pretty good most days.
Yeah, that's great, man. I also wanted to ask you what your writing process for the sketches are.
It's scrappy. Okay. So me and Ben have discovered we can't write a script. We can't do it word for word. Yeah. Also, with the sketches, it's different. It's literally one idea.
Yeah.
And then it's repeated.
Yeah.
A few times throughout the sketch. That is the format we're working with for Instagram. As that works, it needs to be short, snappy, and fast. There's barely a storyline. It's one simple idea. So the latest sketch is, the idea is Ben and Willa are terrible with the ladies. So it'll just be like me saying to Ben, no, it's like Ben going, oh, I'm killing it with the ladies at the moment. I'm just having so many dates. And I go, oh, that girl over there is giving you the eye. And he just faints. Just faints. Oh, like,
it's good.
And then it's that repeated.
Okay.
So Ben says to me, oh, Will, Sarah's single again.
Yeah.
Faint. And oh, Will, there's going to be loads of single girls at this barbecue.
Yeah. So it's like, you've got the device, and then you find whatever the device is, and then you repeat the device, heighten it.
Yeah, you're repeating.
And then you got your sort of punchline at the end.
Exactly. It's one simple idea, and we just repeat it.
And do you improvise the lines, or are they scripted?
Yeah, pretty much improvised.
Yeah, so you're playing to your strengths, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and we're learning that dialogue on Instagram is just... fucking scrap it as much as you can.
Really?
Just the shortest possible inline to the gag. Because, you know, everyone's just scrolling normally on silence on their phone.
Yeah.
No video, no sound, sorry.
It's got to be visual.
So keep it visual. We put subtitles on it. And just ease off the dialogue, bruh.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, but what I want to do now, because some of the characters are really good and people are liking them, just expand on them a bit more.
Yeah.
Do some longer form stuff.
As in on different platforms.
As in probably YouTube. Yeah. Just kind of go into the characters a bit more. like, or expand on the sketches a bit more. But so we don't write a script, and it's just us two, you know, and we film it on our phone. It's very slapdash.
Yeah, but that's great. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
It's not like, it doesn't need to be a high, I've always been like a sucker for doing high production value stuff. But what that means is it takes ages and it can be expensive as well.
Yeah. And it's frustrating nowadays, you know, so say if someone puts a lot of time and effort into a minute and a half long sketch to get, I know everyone's just obsessed with views now, but then, and then you've got some dickhead on TikTok who is filming his big toes screaming or whatever it is, and that's got a million views and it's 6 seconds long.
I know, it's crazy,
it's
right?
quite demoralizing.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
Some 12-year-old's got like 12 million followers. You're like, all right, yeah, and that's just for doing a dance on TikTok.
You're saying you didn't like my big toe sketch?
Yeah, your big toe sketch is hell. Yeah, hell.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, look, this has been a fun time chat.
It's been good, bro.
I'm going to finish off the question I ask all the guests. We've kind of covered it, and this does happen sometimes, but I'm still going to ask it to you. Oh, actually, no, before I ask you that, there was one question. Any books that you've read that have had a massive impact on you over your lifetime, Will?
Yeah. Grayson Perry, what's it called? He wrote a book called The Demise of Men.
Okay.
It's just about masculinity in general and how it needs to be looked at.
Okay.
And let's be honest, like, there's a serious issue with males at the moment. It's an incredible book, and that is what I want to do, stand up about masculinity, toxic masculinity. You know, 90% of all crime is done by males. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be looked at. That is a great book. Another book called The Rewired Brain.
Okay.
Just about sort of rewiring your brain to do good habits. Those two books.
Okay, awesome. And final question. Yeah. What does the idea of balance mean to you or not?
Balance, yeah, everything in balance. What? Say it again.
What does the idea of balance mean to you? And then I say or not, just in case you're like, if you've had a U-turn and you're just like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, balance is great. You need balance. I need balance, you know, look after your body and be disciplined, but then also, you know, have a blowout as well when you want, when you've earned it. Have a giggle. Don't be too hard on yourself, bro.
Yeah.
Don't, like, give yourself 30 lashes because you had a Mars bar the other day. But, yeah, balance. Needed everywhere.
Wicked. All right, man. Where can people find out about you and the sketches that you and Ben Cohen do?
Instagram. Let's keep it simple.
Cool.
Willie Robbins, at Willie Robbins. Willie with a Y.
Yeah.
Robbins, double B.
Wicked. All right, man. Great chat.
Cheers, Steve.
And Will Robbins in the building, aka Real Wobbins. It's not really a thing. I just came up with it. I might have called him it once. Maybe it'll become a thing. Who knows? Let's see. Really enjoyed chatting to Will. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. As always, if you do, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends, all the fun stuff. I'm actually going away this week now till the end of August. As I mentioned in the last episode, I'm braving it. I'm going to Italy and then Greece. I'm trying to line up another episode. I did have another episode lined up for yesterday, but unfortunately we had to rearrange. And the guest is Rosie Holt. If you've seen some of her sketches on Twitter, you'll know she's super funny. So I'm actually thinking, maybe I might be able to do it while I'm away, because I'm actually recording. I usually record all the episodes with this Blue Yeti mic, Geek Chat. But these bits now, not the episode itself, but like the intro and the outro, etc., I'm doing via my Mac because I can't seem to get the mic working. And it seems like the audio quality is okay. So if that's the case, because I don't want to just like carry around the mic with me while I'm on holiday. It's a big old thing. I mean, it's not that big, but just can't be asked to bring it, basically. No need to tell you all this, but, you know, I'm just being transparent. So if I can arrange it with Rosie, then hopefully we won't miss a week's episode during my vacation. But if that isn't possible, then we might be 1 week short. But hey, we've got a big back catalogue now, guys. So go through the back catalogue, listen to some of the old episodes. There's some really great, interesting, fun, creative, inspiring guests. So do go and check them out. Cool. So until next time, see you later.
Balancing Acts is made in association with The Comedy Crowd, who support independent comedy creators. They showcase the best new videos on comedycrowdtv.com and across media platforms. They support independent comedy creators and showcase the best new videos, including adult animation, sketch shows, web series, viral hits, and lots more. So if you're a creator, then do check them out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.